This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, and welcome to the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup Meeting Number 28, April 25th, 2017, 0500 UTC. My apologies to the live captioner or captioning thingy for talking too fast. I will not do that again. In any event, let's us first review the agenda. First, are there any changes to SOIs? I see none. Let's identify any audio-only or phone number participants. We have no phone numbers. Is there anybody who's only on audio? There doesn't appear to be. Let's quickly see what the rest of the agenda is. Number four, we will be reviewing decision and action items from our last call. Number five, an update on the questionnaire, and including how we at least will start dealing with responses and translations. Number six, an update on the litigation review and the process and progress of that effort. 7 AOB, and then next meeting, and then adjournment. So let us go back up to the fourth item, first substantive item of the agenda. To review decisions from our last call, there was one decision, which was that questionnaire responses would be accepted until 2359 UTC on Friday, the 21st of April. That was last Friday. Then we had several action items. First was for the staff to get the non-English questionnaire responses translated. That is underway and close to being completed. We'll cover that in a little more detail in the next item. Next, with regard to the employee media case analysis, draft a request to ICANN Legal as to why there is no choice of law in the registry agreement. Also, that extends to the registrar accreditation agreement as well. And I've sent around just before this call a draft, which we can deal with in AOB for that. Third was to place the work plan in Google Docs and then post a link to the group to facilitate commenting. That has been done. You should have received that yesterday, although it still feels like earlier today for those that didn't sleep between that time and this. Last action item was to post an update to the list on the review of ICANN litigation, noting which cases are due, from whom, and which cases still need to be claimed for review. That will be covered in more detail in item six. Any questions about these decisions or action items at this point? I see none. I note Bruce's earlier comment, my voice is unclear, seems to be sleepy. Yes, because I should be asleep. But such is life. This will move us on to the update on the questionnaire. The questionnaire did close, including some time for late responses, on April 21st. We, however, received a response yesterday from the Ministry of Transportation and Communications of the Republic of China, from Maoshang Morris Lin. So we have a question for the group, which is whether or not to accept this response that came in past our overtime deadlines. Rather than giving my opinion first, I'll see if anyone else would like to offer theirs. In the chat, I see Aubrey Doria saying yes, accept. Is there anyone opposed to that viewpoint? Caboose, please go ahead. Caboose, please go ahead. We did not hear you. I see Caboose says,
Kindly say the source of the document, which country or which territory, please, with good morning. Thank you.
Came from the Ministry of Transportation and Communication of the Republic of China. Maoxiang Morris Lin, listed in 5.1.1. Just to be clear, Republic of China refers to island also known as Taiwan, distinguished from People's Republic of China, which would refer to mainland China, as some others will call it. All of these terms are not intended to make any judgment. I see in the chat several recommendations to accept this input and no objections. I do believe that's a good course of action. My general belief is that as long as something comes in and can be incorporated into the work stream of question responses or the like, that it should be taken. As someone once said, we should be liberal in what we accept and conservative in what we send, or something like that. So that works, I think, in policy as well, as long as it doesn't get in the way of our work plan, and it does not in this case. So we will accept this response from Mr. Lin on behalf of Republic of China, Ministry of Transportation and Communication, and should be added to the pile, so to speak, in the questionnaire response tool. We did receive several other responses before that, but after our last call from Jesus Rivera, Nzia Gogulashvili, Mathieu Aubert, and from Lance Hines on behalf of the government of Guyana. I assume but did not confirm that those were distributed to the list, and they should in any case, as we should know, they are posted to our wiki page, and we should remember to look there for any of these questions. Aubrey Doria says, always good to hear Postel and the TCP protocol spec quoted. Yes, thank you for the proper attribution. After midnight, I don't try to go for attribution, because I could be wrong. Thank you, Brenda, for posting in the chat the link to the jurisdiction questionnaire wiki page. So there you will see each of these responses listed under 5.2. Any questions about these? I cannot answer off the top of my head any particulars about any of these responses, and in the interest of time, I would direct everyone to the wiki page for any of their concerns or questions about any of these responses. 5.3 brings us to a quick status report on the translations. First, there were no new non-English responses received after our last meeting. We received 3 non-English responses before the last meeting, which were duly submitted for translation by staff. And the first Spanish to English has been completed. And I will turn to Bernie, whose hand is up, to see if we have the latest information on the other translations. Bernie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is simply to confirm that the French and Russian translations have been received and will be posted right under those original replies very shortly, if Brenda has not already done so. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Has the Russian been translated into French in the style of the 19th century czars, or only into English? That is a no need to answer that. In any case, thank you for giving us that report. Good to hear that we are in good shape on translations. Next item, staff to provide a summary of responses. A response tool has been completed, at least in the ICE draft version. I expect that will be distributed to the list tomorrow. However, you know, given our working method, the intention is for the small group to evaluate and report on these to the large group. So I, while everyone obviously is more than free to read all of the responses and consider them, we will be looking to the small group to make some order out of them and to deal with reporting them to the larger group. That segues nicely into 5.5, next steps. Question has been put, the small group now has an email list of its own, which is publicly archived, and I think that has been distributed to the larger list. We see the location of the archive so that people can follow the discussion. However, there has not yet been much discussion. I've put out a general question to the small group on how to evaluate and report on the responses, and conversation has yet to really take fire or catch fire. We'll be circulating a doodle poll to try to get a call of the small group, but I am hopeful that much work can be done on the small group's list rather than waiting for a call, which will need to be take a couple of days to be scheduled and then, you know, a couple of days until it occurs. So I don't want undue delay or any delay, and therefore would encourage those members of the small group to look for the email regarding next steps and to respond to it. Any questions on the questionnaire or the responses or the like? Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes, not about the questionnaire. You referred to the small group. What are these small groups that have been established? They will be established. And second, Greg, today the way you speak is quite different because your voice is quite different. It's not very clear for me. Maybe you use different telecommunication line than before. Before you were very, very clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. I'm not sure why that would be. I'm on the same phone I always use. I see Aubrey says, I can't understand what Caboose says. He's saying it was all garbled. Well, after we finish fixing the internet, maybe we need to go back and fix the telephone system. I'm sure the ITU would welcome that greatly. In any case, apologies for digressing. I will try to speak as clearly and as in a as happy a tone as possible. In any case, the small group was formed 2 or 3 meetings ago. We had several volunteers. Caboose, you are a member of the small group, along with several other members of the larger group. There is an email that was sent to the small group establishing the email list for that group and trying to kick off that conversation. Given the cascade of emails that we'll all receive on a daily basis, I will try to go back and resend that initial email so that we can get that conversation moving. As well, we'll send out a doodle poll on that same list so that we can get our work in that area rolling. Is there anything else on the questionnaire before we move along to the litigation review? I think that's it. So why don't we move on to an update on the litigation review, and if staff could put the litigation review list up in the Adobe Connect room, I would be most appreciative. It looks like it's being shared. And here we have the list. I've slightly upgraded this list, which lives as a Google Doc and has just been downloaded earlier today, depending upon what you consider to be today, in the last 12 hours, let's say, for this call. Now using the miracle of color coding help track with the eye the information being conveyed in text in the right-hand column. Anything that is in the draft for comment status is in green. And these are drafts that have both been sent to the list and discussed on our prior call. So essentially, they're final drafts at this point, subject to any comment. And several of them were upgraded or revised after they were discussed on the call. Thankful to each of those who volunteered on those. So if you should all have scroll control. You'll see anything that has currently been claimed but not yet circulated as a draft summary is in yellow and is marked as analyzing. The first page, things look pretty good in terms of our progress. The second page, not so good. A lot of very little color here. And the third page completes the downfall of our progress. And I've also added a progress tracking chart down here. We haven't been tracking really regularly, but we did have an earlier instance of a PDF of this list, so I was able to go back to that instance and compare the instance to yesterday, the 24th. We can see we have 35 total cases. That is a constant. Out of that, we had 5 cases that were being analyzed and 6 that had already been put into draft summaries as of a month ago. And as of today, we have 2 more that have made it into the draft stage or the summary prepared stage, and 2 more that have been picked up for analysis. So we have 7 pending cases and 8 that have already been essentially completed. But that still leaves us with 20 unclaimed. 20 out of 35 is roughly 60%. That is not very good progress for something we had hopes, dreams of maybe getting done by the end of April, which ends in less than a week. So I really have to ask those, including myself, who have cases they have claimed for analysis to complete their analyses in the summary chart, and I need to ask that anyone on the list and those reading this transcript afterwards, since I know I'm preaching somewhat to the choir, for those who are willing to be on this call and I do believe there's only one person who was looking at daylight while we were on this call. But in any case, those who are not on this call, but reading the transcript afterwards, should feel even more guilty for not claiming a case. So I do hope we want the form was circulated originally, and then a couple of revised versions. I will recirculate it, and it also lives in the same folder as the file, as the sign up, but I will make sure to recirculate the summary form so that it can be used by Caboose and Aubrey and others who are wishing to make progress with their cases. That will also remind me to do the two cases that I claimed as well with the same summary chart. So let us hope. I have put out three more weeks worth of meeting dates in the chart, and let's hope that by the 15th of May we have all 20 cases unclaimed and currently unclaimed, claimed and analyzed, and the seven that are currently being analyzed, also analyzed. Would love to finish this, but that is going to take 27 reviews. That's about 9 a week. And clearly, we need more people to deal with this. I will not go on further, but I encourage all to pick up a case, and I will, of course, make this plea on the list as well. I think we definitely have a few people who would be easily suited to doing this work, understanding that reading what are primarily U.S. court decisions and papers is something that comes easier to someone who has been trained and may even do this for a living as opposed to others, and I appreciate all efforts. And if in fact, but do not feel shy if you're don't feel as well equipped to do this. We can try to help you in the meeting or on the list deal with anything you don't understand. So it's better to keep better to give it a try than to leave it only those who feel the most suited to do it. David McCauley says in the chat, let's make sure sign up is kept up to date so we don't duplicate case reviews. Ideally, I would like the sign up sheet, which you see in front of you in PDF. Everyone has editing rights on that in the Google Doc. If you have the link, you can fill in your name. So plan A is if you claim a document, merely go to the list and put your name down. Plan B, if for some reason you can't access a Google Doc, either based on system issues or the fact that you're off a computer and even phone, send your request to the email list, and staff or I will put your name down on your behalf. But please don't feel shy. Adopt a document. They are lonely. Adopt a case. Thank you very much. Let us go back to the agenda. Any other questions on the litigation review before we move along? I see no questions. Encourage everybody to join the Adopt a Doc program, kind of like adopting a few miles of highway and cleaning it. That's what they do in the United States. So there's a highway not far from me that Bette Midler has given money to contribute, and now she's playing Hello Dolly in Broadway, or at least, you know, the lead character in Hello Dolly, but I digress. Farzani, don't be scared. consider it just a, being a foster parent. You can return the case to the orphanage when you're complete. Let us move now to all other business. And as I mentioned, there's one specific item of AOB that I have, which is the draft follow-up question for ICANN Legal. Is there any other business for AOB? Seeing none, if I could ask staff to put up the document which was sent to the list scant minutes before this call. Given that it was sent just before the call, I don't expect everyone to be fluent in this document, but nonetheless, let me just walk you through it to the extent it's not self-explanatory. We did get a response from ICANN Legal on a number of questions posed by the jurisdiction subgroup, and also in, I think it was the name.space case, the issue of the fact that the registry agreement does not have an applicable law provision or choice of law provision came up in the course of the discussion of that case. And on the last call, there were some questions about why ICANN would do that. The ICANN Legal answer does, in fact, answer it to some extent. The answer is historically the registry and registrar accreditation agreements are and have been silent on the choice of law to be applied in an arbitration or litigation. This allows the parties to an arbitration or litigation to argue, pursuant to the relevant arbitration rules, court procedures and rules, and laws, what law is appropriate to govern the specific conduct at issue. Arbitrators and courts are well suited to make those types of determinations. Then there's a footnote regarding a few exceptions to this. Legacy agreements with managers as CCTLDs and a special agreement with URID for .eu. No need to read the footnote because it does not remain to the question which we were asking, which is why don't you have choice of law in these contracts. So having read over the chat and note from last week's meeting, unfortunately the transcript doesn't seem to be available yet. I formulated the follow-up questions, which are in italics here. As follows, the subgroup would like to better understand ICANN's reasons for not specifying the applicable law in these agreements. Aside from determining the law that governs the party's conduct, referred to in ICANN Legal's answer, applicable law is also significant when interpreting the contract itself. First question, what are ICANN's reasons and considerations in not specifying the law of the contract? Second, how did ICANN take this into consideration when drafting these contracts? Third, how does ICANN take this into consideration when interpreting contracts where there is no arbitration or litigation? For example, in contract negotiations, disagreements on contract interpretation, contract compliance, contract enforcement, and allegations of contractual breach. There should be a closed paren, then question mark. That seemed to me to be kind of the open question, which is how do you deal with applicable law when you don't have a court that's going to tell you which law to apply and you don't have a contract that tells you which law to apply? There are many times when contracts need to be interpreted when you're not in front of a judge or an arbitrator, thankfully. David McCauley suggests a general bullet, the catch-all Question, what other information can you share with the group to aid it in understanding the lack of applicable law clause? David, I think that's a good suggestion, and we'll take note of that. And hopefully, especially now that we have a caption stream, we will be able to take note of that. Plus, it's in the chat anyway. So why am I saying that the captions will be the only place to find that? But in any case, thank you, David. That I think is helpful. It's always good to have the catch-all at the end of any list of questions. Any comments or questions, additions to this follow-up? Kapoos, please go ahead.
Yes, it's not common, but just two things.
My voice is not garbled, as Avery said. Sorry for that. In case that there is no mention of any applicable law, what would be the governing situation? Would it be a default position? Thank you.
Kavus, just to try to answer that briefly, if you were in court or in an arbitration, there are choice of law rules, sometimes called conflicts of laws rules, that would be applied by the judge in order to determine what law applied. Without an arbitrator or a judge, you're basically stuck arguing first which conflict of laws rules apply, and then applying those to try to argue which law would apply. So in where you have two parties, let's just call them ICANN and Registry X. Registry X may believe that the law should be the law of Zanzibar, where they are located. I recognize that Zanzibar is not a country anymore. It's part of Tanzania. ICANN may believe that the laws of the state of California should apply. Registry X may argue that there are legal reasons why the law of Zanzibar should apply, and ICANN would argue the opposite. And so you just kind of do your best in between that, as you do in any area where you have no third party. And then question would be, really, what is the substantive difference in the two laws and how they would interpret the contract? Typically, if there's no reason to be concerned about the choice of law because it doesn't change the interpretation of the contract, the issue wouldn't come up. This unfortunately means that when there really is a difference in how two different laws would interpret the same contractual provision or would interpret the same contract, then you're stuck with a basically an unrefereed disagreement between two parties. That would be my view of how it would be dealt with. David McCauley notes, in that example with no claw, the case may be Zanzibar'd. I'm too tired to laugh. Caruso says all these decisions will be made by a court. Yes, it's true. If you're in court, the parties will probably each submit their arguments about which choice of law applies to the court, and the court will apply the appropriate conflict of laws rules to come to an understanding. But for every contract dispute that ends up in court, there's probably 10 or 100 contract disputes that don't get anywhere near a court or an arbitrator. Anytime there's a contract that's enforced between two parties, it has to be interpreted, and sometimes the law of the contract or the applicable law of the contract is germane to interpreting it. At that point, you're kind of stuck. Just lawyer on lawyer trying to work it out. And that's how lawyers get paid. In any case, at least that's how they bill time. Whether they get paid is a different question. Any other points on this question for ICANN Legal? Seeing none, I will take David's fourth bullet and add it to this. And then following our protocol, I will send this to the co-chairs for a review and review by the legal committee of the CCWG. And if they approve, this will be sent on to ICANN legal for response. Let us go back to the agenda, which I think brings us to all other business. The only other business I would like to mention is a reminder that we have posted the draft work plan, and I've updated it slightly since our last call, just to try to flesh out the coming weeks and months in terms of timing. So the only real changes since we reviewed it are in the schedule chart at the back of the document. But I do want everyone to try to look at it, because this is our work plan. It's not my work plan alone. And we need to try to stick with it. If it's unrealistic, we need to acknowledge that. If it's realistic, we need to make it realistic, such as by reviewing the remainder of the litigation and by getting the questionnaire response team come up with a method of evaluating and dealing with the responses and the like. So that is the only other business I have, is to remind everyone to do those things. And the other action item is to dig up and recirculate the summary for the litigation reviewers to use, and the kickoff email for the small group. Caboose, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes. On the work plan that you mentioned that you have recently amended, that I suggest that any document that you produce, perhaps we should have a appellation of the version, starting from version 0, going to version 1, 2, 3, so on and so forth, that when you open documents, you know that which version they are. And that is all, because there are so many documents, and sometimes we may mix it up. It is better to have a reference to the version. We did that when we were discussing an ICD. Any document we produced, we had this version number, version 2, 3, and so on. Thank you.
Greg, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Thank you. I was speaking to the mute button. Caboose, thank you for your suggestion. I think that's a good idea, and I will adopt that. Just to note that the version that was reviewed on the call a couple of weeks ago is headed discussion draft, April 11th, 2017, and the draft that is now up for comment is headed comment draft, 24th of April, 2017. But I agree that versioning is a better way to keep track of changes, and also to keep track of minor changes versus major changes using the N.N system so beloved by software developers. So I will do that, and hopefully people will look at that document. With that, I see no other business and no other hands, so I will call this meeting adjourned at 1:44 New York time, also Montreal time, Quebec time, and a number of other times from pole to pole. This will give everyone 15 minutes of sleep or of daylight, and I hope you enjoy them, whichever you have in front of you. So I thank you. This meeting is adjourned, and we may stop the recording. Next meeting is in 1 week at 1300 hours.